I'll make a point.
Point of order.
Yes, Ted.
Serene, use of point of information was inappropriate. She was really advocating a point, and the point of information is who's on the stack, how much more time do we have to devote to this, what would it take to postpone consideration, which is a way a committee can dismiss of something. She did not use a point of information properly.
Well, it was a real point of information, and that she perhaps didn't hear what someone said before, which the board would have to vote two-thirds to overrule itself. Yeah, she was asking that, and the board, we are, in fact, if we pass this, asking the vote, the board to reverse or change itself with a two-thirds vote. That's not impossible.
It's not required two-thirds if it's noticed.
If it's noticed, there you go. Thank you. That answers that question.
Oh, there's a lot of phone noise. And my second question, is this, in fact, time-sensitive? Because I know we're almost out of time for this issue, so it's not a matter of trying to simply get it off the agenda, Ted. I think folks took some serious time trying to put this together. I just think, you know, I just want to know what the urgency is. Is this supposed to be part of our report that's submitted to the board at the end of January?
This was in the minutes, and we were dealing with it in the order in which it came, which was a report from the work group. And we're addressing it because it's there and it's next, which is why we're dealing with it. Ted, did you have a question about the time?
I had a comment. If I'm on the stack.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, I think it's time sensitive for a couple of reasons. It's time sensitive because I will be leaving this committee after our next meeting, since I'm no longer on the LSB, so I don't want to be excluded from this process. It's also time-sensitive in that if we have an election at the end of 2007, these recommendations better be implemented right here and now. And lastly, it's time-sensitive because if we don't move on this thing, we're talking about an extraordinary expenditure of money. What we were told tonight was $200,000 if we don't figure out ways to get greater participation to get a quorum.
All right, point well taken. We're going back to this motion. Do we have any more discussion on the substitution of every hour instead of every half hour, 24 hours a day? Anyone else want to speak to that before we move to a vote?
I just thought of one thing, and that is that if we had 24 candidates, they better scramble it in some way so you're not always relegated to 4 o'clock in the morning. That's the only
That's a different issue, and again, that's irrelevant to the point being discussed. Ted, let's not distract ourselves.
I have one more question.
Please.
Just that I can't remember where it was mentioned, but Ted was talking about why he used the word should, and I think that that's a very legally inappropriate word. Should use either shall, which is mandatory, or must, which is... should is just... it's like a guilt-tripping word. It doesn't really make you have to do it. So if you want it to be done, you should say shall. And in law, shall is mandatory terminology.
Well, point of clarification, I think the should makes this a recommendation rather than a mandate. Shall would make it a mandatory ruling, and should is advisory. And Harrison, what was the intention behind should?
Well,
was it advisory, or did you intend it to be mandatory?
Well, the three members of the group might have different ideas. Yeah, I had in mind leaving some flexibility. I'd be comfortable if Carol and Ted would answer that as well.
Well, let me just say that if you want to have flexibility, you should actually say that specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The should is a vacillating term, and it doesn't help construction later on.
Well, the grammarian in me disagrees, but that is a legal opinion. I will accept that. Carol and Ted,
Madam
do you
Chair,
want to address
I'm
the
sorry,
question of should?
But could I interject a point of order?
Yes.
Or perhaps it's a point of information. Perhaps I'm just not clear. But Harrison, Jane had mentioned dividing the two, and Harrison Without objection from the maker of the motion, Harrison moved to divide the motion. So the second part is what we'd be voting on. Participation in the elections and governance should be used as part of fundraising pitches. So we wouldn't, we should, in that event, we should not be discussing. That was the part that was non-controversial that Jane wanted to have voted on at that point. So we should be talking about that rather than
voting. Oh,
does
that have to be dealt with before the first half?
Well, I think so. That was the part that, that's why. The way I have recorded it here, Jane wasn't sure how she would go on the half hour slash hour, but she thought that she liked this other part and wanted to merge it in with item two in some way, and then Harrison suggested that the normal way of doing this is to divide the issue, the question, so we would be taking up the part that is ready to be voted on, which is the part that Jane was trying to move, which
and,
is the
I'm not sure that that is the part that's ready to be voted on.
Well,
it's
the part that Jane was trying to move.
We divided it.
It's the part that Jane was trying to put forth, so that she wanted to move. We would act on that part first.
Well, I need a little parlimentary advice here. I have to assume that you're correct, and unless someone tells me the contrary.
Madam Chair, this is Ted. I think that when you're dividing a question, and one does not predicate the result of or have any bearing on the other, it's not an amendment. If you divide it, you can pick whichever, the chair can pick whichever one they want to vote first. I personally am very comfortable as in dividing this question, taking out the words "and that participation in the" be totally eliminated, and three be split into two. That's fine.
All right, so that will stay divided. The question was whether it got connected to two or not, and what we do with the first half. So
which half gets voted first?
Since we were talking about it, may we continue with the first? The candidate spots should be aired every half hour, and then we'll do the second half, if that's all right. But it is divided. The question is what we're going to do with that, and we'll deal with that next.
Point of first
Yes, Serene.
I need to leave the call. Good night, all.
All right. Good night.
So sorry, Serene.
Thanks, bye.
Have good holidays.
Have a good holiday, Serene.
Thanks. Now, do we want to look at the every half hour? And then there's a question about the should. Let's deal with the second one, the first one. The every half hour, 24 hours a day.
I think the motion to change it to every hour was acceptable.
Every hour. Mm-hmm.
No,
are
no,
we,
no, it
are we
not,
have to
we
take a vote on that,
it.
I think. No, I think we need to vote on that, on the question of hourly, once an hour.
Okay.
Would you like to call the roll on that, Mary? Unless there's any more discussion on that, the hour?
The word
voting
to amend?
Jane?
Yeah, I had a motion to amend. Perhaps Harrison's is better. Go ahead first.
Oh, no, I just wanted to know, just be clear that we were voting to amend the divided motion.
We're voting to amend, instead of every half hour, we're voting to amend that it read every hour, 24 hours a day. Right?
That's what I understood we were voting for.
Yes.
I just wanted to be
right.
Sure.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, Mary Berg votes no. Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Jane,
point of information, I'm not clear on what we're voting on and what the yes and no means.
We're voting on the amendment, whether to, if we vote yes on it and pass it, it would become then the main motion, and then we would, if we don't pass it, then we would go back and vote on the half hour.
Okay, so yes means voting for an hour.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Jane Gatewood?
Yes.
Terry Goodman, he's left the call right now, right? Okay. Patty Heffley? Patty Heffley. I'll come back to her. Melinda Eiley Doan?
I will pass right now.
You're passing. Okay. Wait a second. Okay. Richard Phelps?
Yes.
Serene had to leave the call. Deb Shafto is not present. Is Deb Shafto here? No. Okay. Zarina Shakir, not present. Harrison Weil?
Yes.
Ted Weisgau?
Yes.
Don White?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
Yes.
Carol Wolf?
Yes.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, let me go back to Patty and see. I don't know that she's not there. Are you muted, Patty? Did you want to vote? Patty Heffley? Okay, I don't hear anything, so... there's 5 yeses, 1 no.
And Melinda, you need to go back to, I think, 1
oh,
pass.
Melinda, I'm so sorry. You passed.
Not a problem. I'll vote yes.
You vote yes. Okay. Sorry. Thank you. There's my little P there. Okay. That is...
All right. Now, the next item,
okay.
And that...
9 oh. Yeses.
Nine.
Wait. Is that
sorry.
Right?
Yes.
9 yeses, 1 no. Okay.
9 yeses and 1 no?
9
yeah.
Yeses and 1 no, yes.
Fine.
The next item, then, is, Richard, are you going to make a motion to substitute shall for should, or are you going to accept should? What do you want to do about that?
The word should legally makes me cringe.
Yeah, I
Carol Wolf on the stack?
I'll make a motion to change it to shall.
All
unless
right.
Somebody wants to rewrite the whole thing. Should is
mm-hmm.
not. Should does not give directions.
All right, Carol.
I don't care too much if it should or shall, but I think that I'd like to see us move more quickly, and I think I agree with Ted and I think Harrison too, that these principles are very important. If changing the should to shall makes everyone concentrate more on the very small details because we're mandating, then if that's going to be the case, I would prefer to keep it should, so that we are simply putting out there that these are things that we think are critical to achieve quorum. And I don't think that many people would actually argue with the spirit of any of these. And the point is just to get it publicized and get people taking action. I think we've already, a key thing that we've seen in this election and previous ones is that a certain amount can be mandated, but there's a spirit missing, and many of these are to working to address the spirit of enthusiasm. So I guess I would favor keeping it should, so that it can be seen as a recommendation, and that we realize that these are just strategies to get to the spirit, and if we try to mandate it too detailed a level, we're not going to be successful.
Can I just
thank
make a comment? If you don't want it to become a rule or a resolution that's going to be passed, I don't care. You can say you can want them to stand on their head, but if you want it to become a rule or a law or something, you need to have language that's clear and not ambiguous. So if it's not going to be asked to be made into a resolution by the PNB, fine. I'll withdraw my change.
Anyone else want to speak to that?
Don White.
Don?
Point of order. Point of order.
Yes, Ted?
Richard just said he withdrew it, so that's that. Let's move on.
I'm sorry.
No, he did not say that.
He did not say that. He said if it is not intended to be voted on as a resolution by the PNB, then he withdraws.
That's right.
That was my understanding, yes.
That's
yeah.
What he actually
it's
said.
It's very tentative. He's considering it, but he certainly didn't
well,
do
it. Well, he said...
Okay.
It's conditional.
Sorry.
Okay. You've been spanked, Ted. You've been spanked. Okay.
This is Richard. I don't want to have half... Get something passed that is ambiguous that everybody's going to go, well, shit, does that mean you have to, or just maybe you're guilty if you don't? I mean...
Yeah.
You know, that's what I
okay,
want to
thank
avoid.
You.
That's why you draft things carefully.
You know, I'm actually going to support the change to shall, only because keep in mind, folks, that this is already just a recommendation that we're making. You know, we're already saying this should happen because we don't have the power to actually implement it, but we're saying to the PNB, it shall be done this way. So I'll support the change to the word shall.
Madam Chair, Mary Berg. I'd like to
Mary?
Mm-hmm. Does Richard have, there are, you know, it's either shall or else it's not mandatory, in which case I'm trying to think of a word. I agree with you about the should, but what...
Two words you use legally are may or shall.
May.
Mean that you
may.
Do it.
All right. Well, then I would move an amendment that we say may instead of should.
Well, that doesn't...
Well, we have an amendment on the floor.
Well, that
shall
has to be the spirit. That's the spirit, but it's more appropriate language. That's correct. I see what Richard is saying.
I'd like to be on the stack.
Yes, Ted.
Okay. I have been told over and over again for 3 years that we can't tell general managers what to do. I really appreciated what Richard said earlier about the pink slip issue, and that is if general managers dismiss all of these shoulds, then they should be placed on notice, and I hope that Mary is putting the spirit of what I'm saying right now in this committee report, that the meaning of the word should is it's a very strong recommendation, but it's dishonest to tell for us as a committee or for the national board to mandate general managers to do absolutely anything. If we say shall, they still have the flexibility because they are the keepers of the FCC license.
You're absolutely dead wrong, Ted. Go read your corporation law. The Pacific National manager to do something and make it mandatory. And that's that they have the power to make all the decisions of the board, of the corporation. They can tell any manager, you've got to wear a white shirt and tie to work every day. That's part of our rules. If they don't do it, they can fire them.
Right.
They're not prejudicial or discriminatory. But
they
can all,
if they say should and he doesn't do it, they can fire him.
No, they cannot necessarily. That would
say.
Go to a court for an interpretation. Shall means you have to. Should means you're supposed to, but it's just, look,
I'm going to add, I'm going to put in my 2 cents here, and that is that the introduction says, we agree that the stations should give high priority to promoting and publicizing the elections, and that this should be reflected in the job descriptions of the GM and PD. Now, that has already been passed in much stronger language by the PNB, that the job description of the GM will reflect the cooperation with the national supervisor. So I'm going to reverse myself here and vote with the shall.
I am too.
I have a feeling that this is correct.
Okay.
And that is my feeling on it.
Can
you put up? Harrison, is that you?
Yes.
I can hardly hear you.
Uh-huh. It seems we're reaching a consensus here and I'm swayed as well. And I'm concerned that don't we want to make this a global resolution that we change all of the shoulds?
Well, that's an interesting motion. Let's see. That would affect number...
Yeah, every one.
It would affect all of them, yes. Every one of them. Uh-huh. Well, do the makers of this motion agree with that? That we should change all the shoulds to shall?
All of them?
I do.
Yes. I do. This is Carol.
All right. Are there any objections to that?
Yes. Let's just register that everyone here is voting yes, except I'm voting no. Apparently, there is no other person voting no. I am opposed to doing this. Okay.
All right. If you would note that in the minutes, Mary, that will save us a few minutes. Thank you very much. All right.
And there still are nine.
Now we have...
So it's nine,
yes.
Nine to one again. Yeah.
We still have three.
Okay.
The last elections and governance should be used.
Yes, that's just where I'm going, Ted. The participation in elections and governance should be used as part of fundraising pitches. The motion is to attach that to the end of number two. So it would be events,
Jane.
Comma. Yes, Jane.
I don't think it helps to combine it just have it be a standalone.
You want to make
I don't think it helps to combine it in any way.
I thought your motion was to combine it with two.
Well, but then when the motion to divide came up, I thought, just leave it all by itself. That's,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a little more straightforward that way. Yeah, because I think it does stand alone, and there's no reason to combine it with the others.
All right, that would be then the new number four. Are there any objections to making that a standalone section, beginning with participation?
Wait a second. Oops.
We'll strike
number
and
3B for the sake of not having to remember everything.
Wait. What is the new four? It can't.
We'd strike and strike that, and then begin participation in the participation in the elections and governance shall be used as part of fundraising pitches.
Okay, so, and we'll number everything else accordingly. Is that correct?
Yes, that's my motion.
All right. Let me see. Whoops.
My apologies, I was switching handsets.
You didn't say you were switching handsets.
I apologize, sorry.
It happens. Thank you. Now, number five, someone had objected to that, and it was a minor objection, as I recall.
Is this Don White on this deck?
Don, yes. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry to say that I don't have number five in front of me. Is this the one around the folio?
No,
I'm sorry. This is the new number five, which is the old number four. I'll read it. When election supervisors select... Excuse me?
I'm just for sake of keeping confusion, let's not change the numbers yet so that we don't have to keep saying old and new.
Let's say 3A.
Yeah, if that's all right.
All right, that's fine. Yeah, otherwise, that's nice because I can't at this moment get this typed in here.
And we can...
Yeah, okay.
All right, then we're at number four. When an election supervisor selects the questions posed to candidates, the questions tend to be safe ones. In order to bring out the controversial issues, each candidate should pose one question to be answered in the forums, and the other questions should be posed by unscreened callers.
Shall instead of should.
Shall, sorry. At least half the time shall be spent on questions from callers. If there are not enough questions from callers, additional questions from candidates shall be taken. Candidates shall have the opportunity to answer questions online and have their answers posted. Are there any
Don
objections
White.
To that? Don?
Mm-hmm.
Linda Allen Jones would like to object to that.
Yeah, there were objections.
Don, Melinda, anybody else on the stack?
Mary Berg.
Mary, okay. Don, go ahead, please.
Well, I think all of us are keenly aware that when there's on-air forums or any programs where all candidates appear, one of the issues that can get out of hand quickly is a candidate taking more time than any other candidate. And when calls come in, if they were to say, this question is for Don White, why did he, do blah, 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 and it's very negative, so then I take time. So I would... To support this, I would insist that the coordinator of the forum ensure to the best of her or his ability that all candidates speak equal amounts of time. I think when you have calls from listeners and when you start having candidates question other candidates, it's very easy for a candidate to get marginalized, and then after it's all over, their protest is that they only spoke for, 2 minutes, and others took seven or something. So I think the structure that we have does guarantee absolutely equitable distribution of time. That's my objection to this only, my only objection.
Mm-hmm. I have coordinators shall ensure that all candidates speak the same amount of time. Does that... Makes sense.
Be given equal amounts of time.
Shall be given allotted.
Allotted, and of course it's to the very best. I mean, obviously, if someone had a stopwatch, someone is going to under this forum, someone is going to have more time than someone else. There's no way you can keep it like we've had it up to this
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the idea of the transparency and the spontaneity. So I would say that coordinators must guarantee to the best of their ability equal distribution of the time to each candidate.
Point of information, why could we just not say guaranteed? Why could we just not say all the candidates shall be allotted an equal amount of time?
Well, because I don't think
because
you can
that,
enforce that. I don't think they will
you can't
actually
enforce guaranteed to the best of their ability because that's
well, if she wants to make a substitute
ability.
Okay, if she wants to make a substitute motion, my motion is not her wording. So
I
just don't think you can guarantee. I mean, a candidate could come back and say, look, it says that you had to guarantee me the same time. I don't think under this procedure there's any way you can guarantee that there will be an absolute equal distribution.
Okay, I'm making that as a substitute motion.
Okay.
We want to read your substitute motion, Mary.
That all candidates, coordinators shall, just all candidates shall be allotted equal time to answer.
Equal time to answer?
To answer, yes, because I think you would need arbitrarily, you might need to restrict the questioning to 1 minute if there's a whole lot of people, or you might be able to allow three, but what you really want to make sure is that the candidates have all the same amount of time. The questions are not as important as what the candidates are going to answer.
All
well,
right,
they are if the questions are directed toward a specific
right,
candidate.
But I mean you can limit callers so they don't make a speech for 5 minutes. So you can say they have X amount of minutes to ask their question and then not to, you know.
Yeah, it's not the callers I'm concerned about.
That's right. It's the so that's why I'm saying.
All right, so we'll vote on the substitute motion first, and then if that is
to
we'll
save
go.
Time. Excuse me, Madam Chair. To save time, I withdraw my motion, and I'll support Mary's motion just to save time.
Madam Chair,
all right, that's very good of you. Thank you.
May I ask you,
Madam Chair?
I did
Ted,
not get
yes,
your
Ted?
Language. Could you send it to me by any chance?
I would like to clarify something that I think is in here, and that is the word pose. Each candidate should pose one question.
I'm sorry, can we do one thing at a time? We have a motion on the floor, and let's vote on that, and then we'll go back to that question.
Okay.
Do I get a chance to object?
To object?
Yes, we're discussing the motion. Mm-hmm.
This is Harrison. I have a point of order, I think.
Harrison? Yes, Harrison.
If this is a substitute motion, is the motion we're substituting just all candidates shall be allotted equal time to answer?
No, it's an addition.
So it's
to the motion. It's not a substitute. It's an amendment. I'm sorry. It's an amendment, an additional amendment, not a substitute amendment.
Because Don withdrew his language, which
this is an addition to the rest of that entire paragraph.
Great.
Someone. I'm sorry. I missed someone else wanted to speak, and
I'd like to, before we vote on it, could we just go ahead and let me make my comment, and maybe we can make it all in one vote?
Well, there's a motion on the floor. Is it to this motion, Melinda, or is it to something else?
It's to change part of the wording.
Why don't you let her say what she has to say, and then you can rule on it.
Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my thought is that the part of uncensored bothers me. As we all know, there are certain restrictions right now regarding verbiage on the air, and I would have concern about someone getting on the air and possibly saying something that could get us fined by the FCC.
There's uncensored. There's unscreened.
What's that?
Wait a minute. Where are you?
Uncensored.
We're just dealing with the one sentence here, Melinda. The coordinator shall ensure that all candidates shall be allotted equal amounts of time to answer. And that's the only sentence. I think you're dealing with something else in the question, which we can do later.
Okay.
Am I correct? Okay. Now, I'm sorry, I'm confused here. Mary, maybe you can tell me the language. Is to the best of their ability in that substitute or not?
No. And it
didn't say,
and it didn't say coordinators, because this could be the host or anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. that's running.
Okay, would you read the final again?
I just simply said all candidates shall be allotted equal time to answer.
Okay.
Whether by a host or a coordinator or whatever, it has to be.
No, it's the person running the program.
And that could be the host, a coordinator.
Yeah, it's the person running the program.
Okay,
so.
And a host might do something different. I just want to make sure that they're that this is what they have, no matter who is talking to them.
Yes, Jane, I have a question.
I think that's clear enough. Yes, Jane. Mm-hmm.
Is there a policy already that requires on-air forums?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
I believe there is in the bylaws, but my copy's in the other room.
Yeah, it's mandated that there be
mm-hmm.
on-air forums.
All right. Are we ready to vote on this? Are there any objections to the substitute motion
to the
as just read? The substitute amendment, I'm sorry, that was just read, which is to be added to number 4. All right. Hearing no objections, then that will stand. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Ted.
Yes.
I think I can clarify a whole bunch of stuff if you'll let me go next.
Please.
The word posed, as I understood it, meant in writing. And each candidate should pose one question to be answered in the forum, and other questions should be posed by unscreen callers. That means that the language would be written down. Of course, federal law trumps anything we do, and therefore, if somebody used vulgarity, that would trump what this is saying. By requiring these questions to be put in writing, it would constrain because the person posing the question wouldn't necessarily even be identified.
I'm not sure of your point, but I think we need to ask for a legal ruling on that. Does pose always mean written down?
No.
I'm just
telling
you the intent, as I understood it, as a member of the working group.
I see. All right. Mary? Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, then you meant it to be in writing. Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay,
then
I believe it should simply substitute. Each candidate should provide one question to be answered in writing.
No, the question isn't answered in writing. The question is posed
in
writing.
Provide one question. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, in writing to be answered in the forums. Yeah, the pose doesn't indicate writing. I don't.
Okay,
believe.
I'm clarifying it. We weren't perfect.
The other question is, if you meant to have the questioner identify themselves, does this have to be? There might be a caller who doesn't want to identify him or herself. Are you saying that you want all the callers to say who they are?
No, they're not screened. They can or they can't. They're not screened.
I would like to get on the statute
okay.
here,
so
if I may.
Okay. So then, do you want to phrase it? Can we?
I'd like a point of clarification here. Is it the intent? Was this discussed in the committee before this resolution was brought up to us by the three-member committee? Was this a question posed? Yes, Harrison.
I'd like to.
Was this question discussed?
Just add after the word question, we could just amend this to say in writing, and perhaps we can do that without objection and move on.
I would like to ask, though, was this discussed in your committee before you brought it to us?
I didn't think about it. I think we're talking about writing, but I don't know.
And then a second question, unscreened callers, how are they going to get something in writing on the air?
The person taking the call would write down what they say.
We did that in the forums that we had because people could call in that way in advance. You didn't have to wait for them. You don't have to hear their voices on the air. They could call their question in with writing, or they could email them in.
I see. All right.
And
thank
this allows
for
a greater
yes.
number of questions to be, you know,
right.
gotten.
A point of clarification.
Yes, Tom.
Yeah, I'm just wondering from the committee, and this is not an antagonistic question at all. I'm just a little confused. Is your concept that either the written question from the candidate or the listener could be directed to a specific other candidate, or do they have to be questions that will be answered by all who are participating on the on-air forum?
This is Carol Wolf. Can I speak?
Yes, Carol.
My understanding was what Don just said, just because in the candidate forum that I participated in, that was pretty much what we did. And I think that the person who moderated our on-air forum had questions to ask in case callers, not enough callers called in. But then when callers called in, they would ask a question that would be answered by all the candidates, and there'd be a specific amount of time for each one to talk.
Mm-hmm. All right, that makes sense. Well, going back to Harrison's suggestion, which is to simply add the words "in writing" after "pose" and "posed," is that acceptable? Yes,
Jane. Just a, I guess this is a point of order. I don't know what it is, but I don't know that. I mean, I looked in the bylaws, and I do not believe that the bylaws mandate the on-air forums. And I think that there may be some previous policies that the board has adopted addressing the matter of on-air forums. But I think this item 4 is a little bit it's a little bit problematic, in part because I don't know the background of what policies have been adopted, and also because
Carol.
Yes, Jane, why don't you finish, and then
no,
Carol.
No, it gets into a level of, I agree with the sentiment of what's expressed here. I don't have any objection to the general concept, especially with what's been added on, but I don't know that I would want to vote on it because I don't know what the precedent is for this policy.
Mm-hmm. Carol?
This was the reason for my initial objection to changing should to shall, because now we are making specific mandates. But I think it really is important just to get the awareness out of this issue and have the candidate forums be very informative and not avoid controversy. Because remember, what we're talking about is how people to vote. So I would just make a plea that we not be overly concerned with the very specifics. Just add to this the suggested language that all candidates will have equal time. I think the very specific details don't have to be mandated in this language, but I think each of these is meant to point out a strategy that will help, that we think will help increase.
Mary Berg, can I? May I?
Yes, go ahead, Mary.
I have to leave the call, so I just wanted to say my 2 cents before I went.
Mm-hmm.
That having run several of these on-air forums, it's very difficult to get controversial questions, and the callers quite often ask really off-the-wall questions that don't do anything. So I agree with Carol. I would really like to see us not specify all these details. We might have a pool of questions developed that they send in advance that we can get controversial questions out of. You know, there's many ways. The intent is to get controversial questions. So please, let's not hamstring it by, over or too many details. That would be, so with that, I'm going to have to leave the call, and I wonder if Harrison, could you take the notes from now on, or at least what actions and language there was, and maybe the time, so I could take it off the archive, the recording?
I'll try, yeah.
Because I had to try to stick Terry with it, but he got off already.
So thank you, Mary.
And thank you. Sorry about this, but
Thank you very much for having been here this long.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
This is Jane.
Yes, Jane.
Happy holiday, Mary.
On this note, what I'm hearing, or at least what I'm thinking about, what I'm hearing, is that on-air forums are a really important part of the election process, and that basically the moderators should seek to bring out controversial issues, you know, blah blah blah. Basically, I think that to me, what I'm hearing people saying is that the on-air forums is an important part of the election process, and I think that if we adopt this point, that it needs some rewarding to bring that to the forefront. And I don't think we have time to really hash through this, but I don't know what to say about it, but I would rather that we try to get this a little bit more clear before it goes to the PMB. I don't know if that's possible.
I think the only suggestion was Harrison's, to add the words "in writing" after "shall pose one question in writing," and then "the other questions shall be posed in writing by unswing callers." That was the only question, and I support both of those. I think they clarify things and are very helpful. Is there an objection to those terms?
Wasn't also the addition that all candidates would have equal time?
Well, yes, we all didn't. Yes, we haven't voted on that yet, have we?
Because I thought that way. If with those three changes, I'm in favor of it.
I think, Carolyn,
Harrison?
I'm not certain, but I'm going to say my recollection is that we passed the "all candidates shall be allotted equal time to answer without objection."
There were no objections to that. Thank you. So now we have the question of your suggestion to add "in writing" in those two places. Are there any objections to adding that? All right. Hearing none, then, let's modify that. Harrison, do you have that one question in writing?
Yes.
And posed again. All right, in two places.
I'm
all right,
Dan. Let me make sure that this is all right. I'm not keeping track of every modification. I'm just modifying it. I'm modifying the document. Is that all right?
Yes.
It's going to simplify things for me a great deal. Okay.
Right. And the number five is that each station shall publish an uncensored folio, published at
was
least
quarterly.
Was there a
quarterly vote on number four?
No.
Oh, I asked if there were any objections, and there weren't any. Did you want to object and take a vote on that?
No, I think, Mary, what you did was to say, was there any objection in amending it to adding "in writing" twice? And there was no objection to amending the motion in that fashion. And now I think you want to call for a vote on number four, as it's been amended twice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Vote on number four. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself here. All right. Can we vote on number four as amended?
Can I make one more comment? I object to the very first sentence, and I think I would like to propose a substitute first sentence which says that the on-air forums are an important part of the election process.
You object to that sentence?
I am proposing that we substitute for the first sentence, just completely replace it with, "the on-air forums are an important part of the election process."
All right. Do the makers of the motion accept that change? Or?
May I suggest that we just add that and leave, just add it to the beginning and then go on, because the part where it says, "in order to bring out the controversial issues," and it doesn't address the part about safe ones in the previous sentence. I would hope that Mary would, I mean that, I'm sorry, who am I talking to? Jane? Would accept what's there, but I'm happy with her addition. I would just like to leave four as it is with her addition preceding it.
Jane, is that acceptable? To leave in the first sentence and add yours to it?
Well,
yours would come first.
Okay, fine.
All right, would you read that again, please?
Insert the words that on-air forums are an important part of the election process.
That would be a separate sentence, am I right?
Insert.
Correct, yes.
At the very beginning of number four.
And who could object to that? All right. Are there any objections to adding that to this motion? This number four. All right, then, can we vote on the entire motion as amended? Are there any objections to accepting number four as amended? Okay, thank you very much. Then that is accepted without objection. And let us move on to number five. Each station shall publish an uncensored folio published at least quarterly. An editorial board of four LSB members shall be selected by STV ballot. Seed money for this effort shall be provided by the stations, but advertisers shall be sought to underwrite the expense. No advertiser shall be excluded except by unanimous vote of the four editors.
This is Jane.
It's open for discussion. Jane?
I think that the published, the fourth word from the end of the first sentence can be stricken. Each station shall publish an uncensored folio at least quarterly.
All right, I agree with that. That's probably a Scrivener's error that corrects a redundancy. I don't know that we need to vote on that.
I'm sorry, I'm missing this.
The word published is redundant because the verb already says publish. Each station shall publish an uncensored folio at least quarterly, which makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the four LSB members having total control of a folio.
I'd second that one.
Is anyone else? I'm not too sure how I think about this. I haven't had time to think about it at length, but I'm wondering if. And then someone mentioned that a board is not the editor. Do we need to vote on an editor which may or may not be a member of the board?
I don't know about that, but I just don't like the arbitrary number of four because I could see some really objectionable things being put in there that the station might find themselves taking knuckle bumps for. And I just think that four is too small a number for that kind of arbitrary ability.
May I ask the members of the committee who wrote this if you considered listener members or the number greater or smaller than four? I just want to know your thinking on it. Yes, Ted.
I would like to hear an alternative motion.
Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm just wondering what the thinking was that went into the number four as opposed to three or five, and LSB members as opposed to a listener.
What about a majority vote of the board?
Oh, that's a good recipe for gridlock.
Yeah. We're saying that any one of these four people obviously, you can't have a totally uncensored folio because there's only so much space. The editorial board will determine what goes in, and the editorial board, except if they totally agree, will run advertising. But if one... And if one person says, no advertiser should be excluded except by unanimous vote of the four editors. So if somebody wants to put in something that is so abhorrent that they all agree, then that advertisement doesn't go in. I'd like to see this thing go forward at least, we can tweak this after we get something going. If we don't do something dramatic here, and this is the dramatic item, we are going to face a $200,000 or whatever percentage of one-fifth of that if, you don't reach quorum. This is all about reaching quorum.
Yes. I would like to propose an addition here. I would like to see an editor in addition to the board. In other words, That would make five people effectively talking about at least what goes into it. And I would like to add an editorial board of four LSB members, and I'd like to add, and one editor who may or may not be an LSB member shall be selected. I'd like to add those words. I do think it's important to have an editor and an odd number.
I would request that they make sure that there be a huge, huge comment, and that is that the opinions of this particular publication do not necessarily reflect those of the station, because otherwise, if we had a couple of capricious individuals, you could wind up with the station being right in the middle of a lawsuit. And I'm also not too thrilled with the idea of advertisers, because I thought the whole point of our thing was that we are commercial-free, listener-sponsored, and that flies totally in the face of that.
May I speak, Madam Chair?
Yes, Ted.
I'll address both items. I think half of what Melinda said I totally support, the part about a disclaimer. The suggestion that we have an editor who is not an LSB member opens up a whole can of worms about hiring practices, announcements, and it slows down the process. It would slow down the process dramatically. We're talking about elections this year. I would hope that you would not add that, but rather let this editorial board produce this thing and get it going now.
Well, I just see the politics of the stations are such that four will end up being in the hands of the majority faction, whichever that is, at any station. And if there were an editor who were not an LSB member, that might move to break that gridlock.
What powers are you giving to the editor, and are you going to put some protocols in for the editor?
Well, I think that would have to be decided at some point, but the point is that if you leave it in the hands of four LSB members, you are effectively putting out a partisan document, at least at most stations.
Mm-hmm. Carol Wolf on the stack.
Yes, please.
See both points of view, and having just finished a year where last January or February I distributed the calendar to our LSB with the dates of the year that were really important coming up, the time that goes by from January until when the elections start really flies by, and I agree with Ted that to have an impact, this kind of a folio needs to start in the first quarter of the year. And I would suggest that maybe we make it five LSB members. Our thinking as a committee was that the more people you have in any working group, the harder it is sometimes to make something move. But if there's a lot of concern that four is too few, then I would suggest five. But I agree with Ted that this is when we're looking at elections and quorum, we're at a stage where it's actually very critical, and next year we could really have a disaster if we don't take steps like that. I suggest that, again, we try to be a little bit more flexible about the details and just try to get this going. I think we have a lot more to lose by not going forward with something like this than we do by trying it.
Well, I have to agree that you're probably right about that. I think five would be a good compromise, and I'm assuming that a board does not preclude a board hiring or finding a volunteer to do the editing. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question, though. I'm just curious.
I would intend changing it to five, and if I can offer that as an amendment. Melinda?
I'd like to...
I just had a question, because it was my understanding that our board had already approved a folio that was to be going forward through the outreach committee. What I want to know is, does this mean that KPFT now is going to have two folios? I'm confused.
Carol Wolf, can I answer that?
Yes, Carol, go ahead, please.
I think that we are getting too deep into the details, and of course we're not suggesting that this would, you now have to have two. Like if you've already got one, great. We're just saying other people who, if you don't have one, you should have one. And this is a suggestion for how it should run. Again, we've changed everything to shall. Maybe in this particular case, we can say an editorial board of at least five LSB members should, and change it from shall back to should, so that someone who already has a functioning folio doesn't have to go through a lot of unnecessary red tape to change what they're already doing well.
All right, I would accept that. Harrison, you were on the staff?
Well, I've forgotten who it was. Was it Carolyn who said that you were afraid that this might become a partisan document? And that's one reason I think four might be a little better than five, because if you've got a close division on the board, you're probably going to have two and two. And in that case, both sides are going to be represented. Whereas if you have a closely divided board and it's five, you're going to have a majority of three. And so I think maybe it would be better to have an even number, and I sort of like a smaller group. And we ask board members to do so much as it is. I'm sort of stuck on four here.
With STV voting, if the voting goes the way it goes for, I forget how the threshold works, but with four, a majority will probably end up with three. So I think maybe five is preferable.
Can we vote on four or five and go forward?
I would appreciate that. I agree with Carol
shell. I'm going to believe Carolyn. If that's your experience, I'm fine with five. If there's perhaps I'm the only person objecting to that.
All right. Thank you. Are there any other objections to that? Can we accept that? All right. Thank you. That helps.
Can I hear the language that we've just adopted?
An editorial board of five LSB members. And then the next question is, should that be changed to shall?
Is that, Carolyn, was that five LSB members shall be elected, selected by?
That's the question. That's the next change. Are we going to change should to shall be selected by STV ballot?
We already changed it to shall. We would be going back to should.
Change it to should. And then the next sentence, though, I'd like to leave the seed money shall be provided.
I agree.
That would cover Texas, Houston's folio already in existence, I think.
I think Richard would say if we want to be, that the proper legal wording would be may.
May be selected.
Yeah.
Mm.
If that's your intention, to make it voluntary, that it's their choice, then you use the word may.
I would agree to leave it as may, but the important thing is the folio shall be started and the seed money shall be made available, but I think the rest of it we should leave as may so that we don't have to undo a folio that's already in place.
Well, I'm thinking about that, and I think that if we leave it may be selected by STV, then they'll be self-selecting. They'll take the option and not use STV. How about an editor in the absence of any other folio, an editorial board?
Yes. I like that. That's great. I think that's a great suggestion. Then, in the absence of
an already existing folio or an already
authorized. Then we use the word shall.
In the absence of an already existing.
That's fine.
Existing folio, and then that would go
folio
in
structure.
Folio effort.
Great.
Yeah,
effort. Okay, and then that would go in ahead of an editorial board. So it would read, in the absence of an already existing folio effort, comma, an editorial board of five LSB members shall be selected by STV ballot. Is that acceptable to everyone?
Yes.
All right, good. Harrison, do you have that?
I do.
Wonderful, thank you.
Carolyn?
Yes.
With all due respect, I'm afraid it's time for this one to go to bed because I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, though, for hanging in this long.
Hey, happy holidays to everybody.
Oh, thank you. You too, Amanda.
Thank you. Hey, burn another candle there, Ted, okay? I trust your menorah is looking good, huh?